Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 87. Matt Scalise, editor of FilmNerds.com. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com.
Okay, hey Matt, what's going on, man?
What's up, Craig? It's 2016 now.
We're 12 days in.
Yeah, I guess it's all been a blur for me so far.
Yeah, you spent the majority of the year at the Alabama football games.
Yeah, I haven't even seen my children in 2016, really. So it's good.
That's going to change in an hour and a half. Well, 8 hours probably when they wake up.
Hopefully they won't be awake when I get home yet.
Well, now that we're 3% of the ways through the year, let's think about our most anticipated of 2016.
Yeah. So I've got like a handful pulled out here, and they're not in like order of anticipation. I just kind of did it chronologically, looking down the calendar. But the first movie coming out this year that I'm like legitimately excited about is Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
And I don't know when we'll end up getting it. It feels like it might be one of those things that I don't know if it's getting like a wide release or not. But I think it's coming out in like February or March. And
yes.
Yeah, it's got I've had good experiences in recent years with the Coens. I feel like I don't remember exactly how you felt about their last movie, but I feel like you and I were pretty positive about it. I know I felt really good about it.
You know, my Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, right.
Correct. Yeah, it's one of my favorite Coens, probably. It's got to be the top four.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot. And this one looks like, I feel like they always do a really good job with, like, period movies and, you know, kind of, like, stuff that really plays with Hollywood lore. It's something they've done in the past, and I've really enjoyed it when they've done it. So it's just, I'm just really excited about everything I've seen from this movie so far.
Yeah, so, well, I saw I'm the same way. They're the best, some of the best directors working right now. I'll go see anything and everything they do.
Yeah, they're automatic for me, too, I think.
Yeah, and you can tell, you could just tell by, I don't know, the filter on what you're seeing on the screen, just kind of the way the look, the production, the style of the shots. You didn't have to see who the directors are. You know it's a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's got like an almost sort of cartoonish quality too. Especially this trailer from what we've seen. It kind of reminds me. I complain a lot about. I kind of wish we had old Coen Brothers still. And this looks as much like 90s Coen Brothers as anything they've done in a long time.
Well, and the times of, you know, getting a late release for Oscar reasons are becoming old hat, I think, because we've seen summer releases get major Oscar contention and awards recognition and stuff like that. So that's not really what concerns me. What about the fact that it's in February, though? Usually, if a movie's released before March, I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is, I don't know. I mean, I certainly think it's weird, but I also wonder if maybe the Coens are not really, you know, I mean, they're certainly not as a marketable name in the way that somebody like Tarantino is. I think you can't, a studio is not necessarily going to hold a Coen Brothers movie for like a Christmas release because they think, well, I mean, I know it's artsy or fair, but they're a big enough name that they're going to draw big numbers. I just don't think they're that kind of filmmaker. They're not. You and I love them, and the film nerds all love them, but I don't think they're not really like bankable box office names. I think in the way that, like I said, maybe somebody like Tarantino is.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think Scorsese didn't he have oh, what was that movie? You know, the one with Leo.
like
Shutter
the last
Island.
Four. Yeah.
Shutter Island. Yeah. That
was that an earlier release?
I want to say
even,
it was.
I don't even remember when it came out. But yeah, I mean, Scorsese, we'll get to Scorsese later probably. But yeah, I mean,
okay.
He's a guy that probably is a little bit more bankable of a name to put on a poster.
That was a February 19th.
Oh, wow.
Release.
Yeah.
So, but I want to say he might have had one come out, like, immediately before that. So that, you know.
But, yeah, that was, like, right around Hugo, probably.
Yeah. Let me just fact check that, you know, while it, before it's too late.
Right. So listen, that's really the only, like, pre-summer movie that's on my list. I mean, it's not, I don't know if you see anything in the early part of the calendar that really jumps out at you.
Well, you know, I can't stand Deadpool as a character, and I definitely don't want to see what's his name play that role.
It's not on it's not on my list, but I'm gonna see it. But as a fledgling comic book reader, I've not really been in love with anything I've seen of Deadpool so far. I definitely am not a fan of Ryan Reynolds. So I'm going into that very skeptical for sure.
What about Zoolander 2, number 2?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's a part of me that optimistic about it because I think Ben Stiller is actually a really good comedy filmmaker. And I really liked Tropic Thunder a lot. I thought that was really good and a kind of further proved himself as a not just an on-screen guy, but as, you know, a maker of comedic movies. I don't really know what to think of Zoolander 2. I haven't seen anything other than these like very vague trailers. I'm probably more excited about that than Deadpool for sure.
Oh, definitely. I think Zoolander is love it or hate it, so it's gonna have its, you know, it'll have a core group of people that will go see it, but.
Was Zoolander like actually a successful movie? Because like. I mean, I know everybody knows about it now, but I feel like that's one of those that was kind of like, you know, people have gotten to know it since it came out because of cable and their friends all telling them to watch it on DVD. But I feel like that wasn't really that big of a deal when it came out.
It, according to Wikipedia, it made almost $61
million. I guess that's not bad for the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terrible for the 90s. Yeah, I think you're right. This budget was $28 million. But, okay. I mean, yeah, I'm a fan of Zoolander. I want to see it. I don't know if I want to go to the theater to see it. It just depends.
I kind of feel that way, too. And, I mean, I have a lot of movies on this list that are summer movies, too, so it's going to be a tough cut.
Well, I won't delay your summer movie list much longer, but while speaking of Zootopia got a huge reaction in my Star Wars showing.
So is this a trailer with the joke that I've made much issue of in the thread with the sloths at the DMV?
See, I'm not I really can't recall your feelings on it, so I was at
the problem. Oh, I hate it. I really hate that joke. I hate it. And I hope it's only for the trailer and it's not in the movie. Because it drives me up the wall watching that trailer.
Oh, man. Well, it's just, I was like, okay, so a sloth is slow. That's not funny, but like it's almost like they overdo it so much.
I can't believe that's the trailer. Like, I seriously can't believe that they thought, like, let's just, like, make people wait in agony until this trailer is over.
I don't know what it is about. Once upon a time, maybe just 4 years ago, Terrence Malick came out with a film and we all just cracked ourselves. But Knight of Cups is March, and I don't know that anyone's, you know, going to run out. I mean, are you planning on going to see that one?
I'm probably not going to see it in the theater. I did not see To the Wonder. I still haven't seen it.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I mean, Malick is, like, obviously a very important filmmaker and very impressive and technically skilled, but I can't say that I'm, like, a devotee where I'm, like, I've got to see everything he does as soon as it comes out. The only Terrence Malick movie I've ever seen in theaters.
Is what? Oh, I think we're having some technical issues.
The kind of thing that is going to be trippy and probably just as effective to watch on my moderately sized television at home as if I saw it in the theater.
It probably picked up on the recording, but I missed what you said. Which one you'd seen?
Tree of Life is the only one I saw in theater. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the same with me, too. I saw The Thin Red Line on my TV, and it so closely, for me, almost became a thin, flat line. It's a beautiful movie. There's only so much, like, poetic narration that I can really take. Mother, you're there. You're in the ethereal plane for me, Mother. The light shines on you, Mother.
That's really spot on with the strange accent. Yeah.
Just cut the shots of, like, Vietnamese children just sitting there staring into space and some Alabamian Nam soldier just talking to himself. It's just, it's bizarre. I mean, it's gorgeous, but it's just like, I can't do this for 3 hours.
Yeah, well, it's a big ass. I don't know that I would say that I'm anticipating it, but if that's what we're doing here on this podcast.
Well, so if I could just prolong it one more time, this should be on the summer movie list. It's in March. And it's one you may not be aware of. It's Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Hold up. That comes out in March?
Yeah. According to this Wikipedia page, titled 2016
in film. I guess I wasn't paying attention to when it comes out. So the big, massive, like, seven franchises all being launched from it movie is getting the traditional Zack Snyder launch date of March?
The 25th.
Yeah. Worked for the 300, I guess.
I suppose so. It'll make a good Real Tracks volume.
I mean, I'm 100% going to see that movie, and I'm probably going to see it opening weekend. I don't know. I'm definitely not going to fight a crowd to see it. But, you know, again, like, I would say that I'm not approaching it with excitement. I'm definitely not like, I can't wait to see Batman vs. Superman. I'm going to see it because I feel like I need to see it so that I can have an opinion. But, you know, I'm pretty openly pessimistic about it.
Right, yeah.
I'd love to be wrong, but it looks pretty stupid to me right now. And yeah, it's stupid, but it's like a stupid that I'm willing to pay, you know, $8 for.
I just thought Man of Steel was so awfully bad, badly
written. I didn't like it. Yeah.
I'm going in ready to hate this movie. I will definitely see it, and if I hate it and people say I hate it because I was ready to hate it, so be it. There was a spot during the national championship with Superman walking in this underground tunnel and, like, Batman's chained up and he, like, unmasks him.
Right.
And it just cuts to black. And, like, really, like, I really don't care. I just don't care.
I have the same basic reaction to all of it. It's like the big reveal in the trailer, right? The last big trailer that came out where there's a big moment and they show Wonder Woman. And I was like, okay, fine. Why am I supposed to be excited about Wonder Woman? Like, I don't
well,
care.
Batman and Superman clearly aren't excited to see her in the movie.
they basically do a collective, who?
Huh? I read a snippet, Zack Snyder's kind of response to people saying that they revealed too much in the trailer. He's like, y'all don't even know. There's so much more in the movie to be revealed. I just don't know what that could possibly be. Unless they just, you know, unless this 9-movie franchise, they're just going to make it all into this one movie and just put everybody in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got a lot of franchises they got to launch that they've already like written, you know, written with promotional material for. But
all right, so what's your summer movies? You got a list?
Yeah, I got a summer movie list.
Let's go through it.
Well, definitely my first one, on contrary to everything we just talked about, is Captain America: Civil War, which I've been excited about from the moment that they first said that was going to be a movie. Because actually, I mean, in addition to just loving all of these movies, which I'm a shameless fanboy of, when I first started reading comics about a year ago, Civil War was actually the first book I went and picked up. I think they had just announced that they were going to do that movie, and I decided I would like give it a shot. And you know, obviously, I think it'll be very different from the written version, as these things always are. But it's a really cool concept, and I think it's a really smart move of them to do this with the franchise. And everything about the first trailer that's come out for it looks so awesome. I mean, it's basically just going to be another Avengers movie, which I'm all for. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, there's one thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe that I think is just impeccable, is that their ability to take existing subject matter, existing material from the comic books, and keep some of it, change it enough to where it fits into a film, it fits into a space of a few films, but it's not a direct adaptation, you know, like a straight up copy. But it seems like every change they've made has been a good one. It's been one, you know, like if I could just make a comparison, like there's some of the Harry Potter movies. I question some of the changes from the books. Man, I'm like, that doesn't really expedite anything. It's not even more efficient to do it that way. It doesn't really save time. But in the MCU, every movie seems to have done a really good job of keeping the essence of the comic while putting it into a movie and making it its own.
I think the only what they really did making all of these is they're writing. I think they're taking the sort of elevator pitches because with comics everything gets so complicated so quickly, but they kind of take, like, if you had to summarize what happens in the Civil War comic book event in, you know, a sentence, they kind of take that and then they just go from there and just build something that works for them out of that, and they don't burden themselves with all the canon and all the other things they want to try to put on, you know, they're like, we got to make it more like the book, so we have to add this and this. They just really just take the essential bit that made it such a cool event. And, you know, it seems like that's what they're doing with Civil War. It seems like, you know, another thing that I'm kind of excited about that I just recently read, you know, I've read the Infinity Gauntlet book, which they're obviously building towards making that into a movie. And when you read the book, you go, well, obviously there's no way that this going to be what the movie's about, but I'm excited to see those guys take the sort of basic premise and build a movie out of it. And I think the fact that they haven't sort of saddled themselves with, well, you know, we have to have this or that, they just make it completely their own thing. It's a lot like the sort of the Ultimate comics that came out where they're like, well, you know, let's just take the very basic idea of who this character is and just make something that goes in a different direction that we don't have to worry about how it connects to everything else.
What if they made a movie where they destroy like 175 alternate versions of the planet Earth?
Right. Like Secret Wars, you mean?
Yeah, so okay, so they did You, Me, and Dupree. You like The Winter Soldier, right?
Yeah, I love that movie, yeah.
And they're set to do both Infinity Wars.
Right.
Okay, so you feel good about that?
Oh yeah, I think those guys will do a good job. I mean, basically, you know, what all that's gonna be about, and then they're doing Civil War also, but I think, you know, they've kind of taken this like very grounded approach, which is what it looks like they're doing with Civil War. If you flip through that comic book, it doesn't look anything like what this movie is going to be. Because this movie is, you know, what if these movie characters we've already established found themselves at odds, whereas, you know, the book is insane. I mean, there's like nuclear explosions going off and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I think these guys are like really good. The Russo brothers are really good at taking that sort of kernel of a really cool idea and making it work in a sort of realistic world.
Because Civil War could be its own MCU.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy the amount of material you could draw from in that. And I'm sure they'll take things that happen to different characters in the book and you know, apply them however works best for them. And it's also we're getting to, you know, introduce some new characters too that I'm really excited about seeing how they interpret them.
Right.
We're getting a new Spider-Man too, basically.
I just am also seeing that they're set to do, quote, untitled male Ghostbusters film.
That's right. Yeah. They're doing a male spinoff of the all female Ghostbusters movie, which is not on my list, spoiler alert.
Okay, what's next then? The Angry Birds movie?
It is animated, the next one on my list. Finding Dory is the next one on my list. I'm totally over any skepticism I may have ever had about Pixar doing sequels. I think they've pretty much hit them all out of the park except for Cars 2 so far. And there's a trailer out for Finding Dory, and it immediately kind of like pulls on your heartstrings with the bringing back the musical cues, and it's like they have this whole backstory for Dory, which looks really cool. I'm very excited about it. Pixar has been on a real hot streak for me lately.
Yeah, same here. I haven't seen Good Dinosaur yet, but Inside Out is. It's got to be one of my favorites from the Pixar group. And it will also be interesting to see how this has got to be the longest time span between original and sequel for Pixar, right?
I guess that's probably right. I don't know. I feel like there was a pretty big gap between Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University.
Yeah, that could have been about 8 years.
Yeah.
But at any rate.
I think it was a good decision. I think the Toy Story sequels and Monsters University pretty much have me sold that, like, if Pixar wants to make a sequel to one of their movies, I trust that it's going to be really good.
And it doesn't hurt in the slightest that you're given main character is going to be voiced by Ellen DeGeneres. Everybody loves her.
Yeah.
I mean, so it seems like a no-brainer.
I'm sure it will do really well. I mean, Finding Nemo was very successful, too. So, and I believe this is a summer release, right? Isn't it? It's like maybe July?
It is June 17th.
Okay, yeah. I bet that'll do all right.
That's smack dab in the middle of the year.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's probably about when we got Inside Out last
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess in the end, my summer list doesn't look all that great because this is the only two summer movies I have.
Well, I'm just like...
It's kind of a weak summer. I mean, Independence Day 2 is coming out this summer. I'll probably go see it. It's not on the same level as these other ones that I've talked about so far. I mean, I think it'll probably be pretty stupid, but hopefully in a fun way.
I just don't know what to think with, you know, you've got some of the, like, the Huntsman and, you know, Favreau doing Jungle Book. And
yeah, I'm skeptical of the Favreau Jungle Book. Although, you know, look, this is like, this really, I always said that I rail against people making bad movies on purpose, but I kind of am vaguely excited about the Huntsman movie, because I actually really, I think I just had such low expectations for the first one, and when I saw it, it had so many cool things in it that I was not expecting at all.
Oh yeah,
and
same here.
I really had a good time at that movie, and this new one, like, the cast is ridiculous. Like, it has Charlize Theron, it has, help me out, Emily Blunt's in it, right? And Jessica Chastain, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yep, you got them. That's all right.
Yeah, that's an Oscar caliber cast for what is probably going to be just a dumb big CGI fantasy movie. But
this is interesting because Snow White
and you lose Kristen Stewart too, so it's
and it's because they had Chris Hemsworth in a supporting role originally. And between then and now, he's most definitely not a supporting any person. He's someone you want to have a close up for the whole running time, probably, or at least a close up of his abs. So yeah, that's like another no brainer. It's like, you know what? Let's go see all these movies we've made where, like, A list stars were supporting, and let's make spinoffs of them where they're the lead. I mean, you know.
And you know, really, I don't know how much this is played into it, and I haven't seen a trailer for this movie at all, so I don't really know what the angle of it is. But I mean, the first movie was really kind of a bit of a female centric action movie, and so, you know, last year was a good year for that. You had Star Wars that had kind of a female heroine lead. And then, obviously, Mad Max got a lot of notoriety and discussion for being that. And, you know, I think maybe there's an element to this movie where what they're going for is, it's, you know, it's a female-centric action movie, and you have a big male star in it. But, you know, I think by far the you know, most essential cast members, at least on the poster, it's the three female cast members that make me interested in this movie. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's kind of becoming like a box office phenomenon now. Is the, you know, the action, you know, tentpole movie that is led by a female, you know, primarily female heroes.
Indeed. You know, I'm gonna take a gamble and say that Oliver Stone's Snowden is not on your list.
It's not. I forgot that Oliver Stone was who made that movie, but I think we know what to expect
from this. I think.
I mean, I'll probably rent it when it comes out, because I actually really like W a lot more than I expected to. So Oliver Stone, I don't know. Is he the one that made the movie that's like literally called 9/11?
Oh yeah, that was.
Is that the one he made, or did he make Twin Towers or something?
Yeah, it was like Trade Center, World Trade Center.
World Trade Center, that's what it was called. Yeah, what a terrible title.
Well,
someone made a movie called 9/11, didn't they?
Probably.
We're way off track now. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't see that one, but I think he. I mean, I'll probably. I'm interested enough in a Snowden movie, I guess, but I'm not going to see it when it comes out.
I think for me, with his style of sort of exploiting and probably over-preaching his own opinions and injecting that into his movie, which is fine. He's a director. He can do that. But I think he also likes to do sort of like historical films. And I think when you do that, that kind of bugs me, because you're definitely altering some history there. And that just kind of bugs me. And after seeing Citizen Four, which is an actual real, a term you used before, lightning in a bottle documentary about Edward Snowden, which completely changed my opinion of Edward Snowden. I don't really understand why I would want to go see an Oliver Stone, telling of Edward Snowden, or Edward Snowden, of what he thinks might have happened with Edward Snowden, but whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Anywho, hey, but that wasn't on your list, was it? So sorry.
It was not. No, no. I mean, it's weird. I'll have to really dig in a little deeper, I guess. But I'm not. There's not. There. I'm. The ones we've mentioned so far, I'm very excited about. But overall, not a very impressive summer. Definitely doesn't look like it's going to stack up to 2015.
No. There's enough here, I think, to make some good money. But no, as far as quality goes. And box office, I'm sure, won't even match up to it. But
yeah, just not as many huge projects this summer, the big tentpoles. But that said, next year, I guess we are getting a second Marvel movie in Doctor Strange, where we're launching a new character, and it's also an actor that I'm a big fan of, in Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know how this movie's going to do. I'm kind of curious to see, how it ends up performing, because I think the Marvel attachment definitely will play a big role, I think. And I mean, it always does. But it's a pretty weird, not exactly sexy concept. And I just started reading a bunch of Doctor Strange, and I mean it's a really cool idea, and there's nobody else really making movies like that type of story right now. But you know, it's interesting to me the approach that they've taken, because it sounds like they're going sort of full on for the weird psychedelic special effects, and they hired a guy who's directed primarily horror movies in his career so far. I think it's the guy that did not Insidious. Sinister? Is that maybe it? I don't remember which one it is.
It's not Clint Eastwood.
No, it's a guy who has made a successful low-budget horror movie in recent years. And I think that's an interesting approach too, because there's a lot of kind of creepy paranormal activity esque occult stuff with Doctor Strange, but the cast is really awesome too. I mean, it's a really weird, intriguing cast. So I mean, it could be a very different experience for a Marvel movie. I wonder if it's going to bring the Marvel money with it because of how different it's going to be.
Yeah, you got to think that label is going to bring something to the table. But I've read Doctor Strange has been in some of the comics that I've read, and it's like the more that he's around, the more that I see from him, I just really really like, and the fact that they just like hit a grand slam with grabbing Cumberbatch for that role. I mean, that's going to just be insane.
I don't think they could have done any better. I remember, I think at one point they were talking about Joaquin Phoenix, which I thought was cool. But then as soon as anybody mentioned Benedict Cumberbatch, I was like, oh, that's completely perfect. You couldn't have done better. And now they have Tilda Swinton playing the Ancient One, who is an old Tibetan man in the comics, which is awesome.
Right.
And they have... I can't remember the actor's name now, but the guy from 12 Years a Slave who is playing kind of the guy who in the comics is the primary villain, Baron Mordo. Mads Mikkelsen is also in it, who I'm a big fan of. I was one of the few and proud and disturbed people that watched Hannibal all the way through on NBC.
Mm.
So I'm excited to see him. They won't, like, I think that's cool, too. Like, they're not saying who Mads Mikkelsen is going to play, and they also are not saying who Rachel McAdams is going to play. Like, they're refusing to reveal that, which I think is really cool. There's something, there's some kind of element to this movie that we don't know what is going to happen yet, and I think that's kind of exciting me about it a lot, too.
Yeah, that's one I'm definitely going to try and check out and make that very special trip to the theater to see. You know, because times these days don't get to go there very often.
With kids.
Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, what a great casting job there and a cast overall. Do you have anything else on that list?
I do. I have one that I'm almost positive is on your list, Craig.
Yeah.
That would be Fantastic Beasts,
yes.
Where to Find Them. Yeah.
I thought you might say that.
Now,
why is it on yours?
Well, so I definitely do have some degree of skepticism about it, just because, you know, I think there's that natural tendency for us to look at it and go, well, is she just trying to kind of make a little extra scratch here and crank out some more material for Warner Brothers? But at the same time, she's continued writing. J.K. Rowling has continued writing since the book were finished. You know, she's written some other books. I admittedly have not read them, but my wife has, and she's mostly enjoyed her other stuff. And she actually wrote this entire screenplay. So I don't think she actually write the screenplays for the Harry Potter movie?
No, they may have given her a credit.
Right.
I think except for the fourth and fifth one, it had the same guy that was
okay.
Really, really heavily involved.
Right. And she actually wrote the screenplay for this. So I'm intrigued by that. It's, you know, it's sort of new material. I'm a huge nerd, as should not be, she should not surprise anybody, but she wrote like additional material, for Harry Potter that she's published on her website basically in the years since, which I read a lot of, and it was, some of that was really good, and I like to the point where I thought, I wish some of this had been in the movie. Like, she wrote backstories for some of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, to me, she's got a lot still there. And maybe they work some of that into these movies. I don't know. I am definitely skeptical of Eddie Redmayne being the guy that is headlining the franchise. But,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Whatever. At least he's just actually like playing a person, you know, like a normal, seemingly fully functional person in this movie.
Right. Well, he's a wizard, so.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah. No. The thing about J.K. Rowling is while she was still publishing the books, she would. On her old website, which it may still be the same one she has now, she would post backstories of characters that she said the editors said, you know, take this out, you know, or try to get her to take it out. But she really wanted the readers to understand. She even posted information about a character she completely gutted out. And it was like one of the Weasley's cousins, and it was like, well, I'm really glad you cut this out because she sounds like a horrible character. But she's always wanted the readers to understand more about the world and the backstory than she was able to put in the books. And
I would say that was the big thing that, like, I started watching the movies before I read the book, and the first I was talking to Francesca about this the other day because she just started rereading the books again, and the first book, I definitely, you know, it was one of those things where, like, everyone was like, you got to read them, and I was sort of hesitant, and I started reading it, and there was a point in the first book where I got to this certain scene where she really starts to do a lot of her universe building, and the mythology all starts kind of kicking in, and I thought, like, okay, like, now I get it. Now I really get what she's doing here. And she's, to me, that's what excites me about her. It's not kind of the silly, like, gags of, like, oh, you know, this is a spell that makes your shoes tie themselves together. Like, that stuff is just kind of, like, makes it fun for kids or whatever. But, like, I think she's legitimately really on the level of somebody like, you know, Tolkien or, you know, if you want to talk about it, George Lucas when he wrote the original Star Wars movies. Like, she's a really, really good universe-building writer.
Yeah. Yeah, there's thoughtfulness and forethought. You can tell into what she's doing, especially something that was seven books long, eight movies long. You could tell that in the beginning she knew where she wanted it to end.
Right.
And David Yates is directing it, and I don't know how you feel about him, but I think because he did the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 7A and 7B Harry Potter movies, and in my opinion, it gets better. He got better and better.
Oh, I think
as
so.
A director.
I would say those are the best ones for sure.
Stephen Clovis is the screenplay. The guy credited with a lot of the Harry Potter screenplays, and he is also listed for Fantastic Beasts along with J.K. Rowling.
Okay, so they're co-screenwriting it. Okay.
But cool, yeah. What else you got?
Well, I've got my last big one on here is Rogue One.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't really know exactly what to expect from it, but it's mostly just I'm giving it credit based on how much I love The Force Awakens.
Right.
I mean, I'm just ready to see what that team wants to bring us next. I mean, we're now making Star Wars movies again, and, you know, whatever they want to give me, I'll take right now. If they want to do this, I'm sure in a couple of years after these movies are making them, you know, $1.5 billion a piece, they'll start kicking it to the TV, and we'll have a vastly inferior in quality drop off. But I'll watch the hell out of that TV show if they make it. If they make a Star Wars TV show, and they're like, listen, you're gonna get like 2 effect shots a week, I'm still in. I don't care.
As long as it's just not like a smoke monster.
No, I mean, I would watch, like, an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. level Star Wars TV show.
Well, I just mean, like, as long as the smoke monster is not your effect shot, your
for
a week.
Yeah, if J.J. doesn't resurrect the smoke monster. He's working he's working on the smoke monster.
He better be.
Right, get to work for that.
That's my one big worry. How are you going to make this guy look when he shows up in person?
Yeah.
Because that's where they're headed. They're going over to that guy's house, and we're going to see him face to face.
They got a couple of years to figure it out.
Well, was that your last one?
Well, the only other one that I wanted to mention, and really, Ben Stark will talk plenty about it, I'm sure, on FNU this year to make up for my lack of knowledge about it. But I am excited about Silence, the new Scorsese movie coming out this year. Just the cast is really what has me the most excited about it. Really, really strong group there with Andrew Garfield and Liam Neeson looks like kind of are the primary leads, but Benicio del Toro is in it, Adam Driver is in it. And it's a really interesting subject matter to me, too. I'm kind of fascinated. I know Scorsese has explored Catholicism and various aspects of it a lot in film, but I feel like he has a really, really excellent perspective on it. And so, I mean, that movie probably won't make any money, but I'm very excited about it. Just for me personally, he's probably my favorite director, and you know, it's a really, really good cast that he's got with him.
Yeah, I'm always down for new Scorsese. And if it sounds like it's not going to make any money, that just makes it sound even better for me. Because he's made movies that have made money, and they've been good too, but, you know, He's not even listed on this Wikipedia page.
Who is it?
Scorsese.
What Wikipedia page are you looking at?
2016 in film.
Oh, you're saying Silence isn't listed on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to get like a December release. I don't know.
Well, you know, if they've got the Jumanji remake listed for December, then they should
really?
Freaking
oh,
yeah.
Is there really the remade Jumanji already? It's not even Jumanji 2?
No.
Oh my god. No, who's playing Kirsten Dunst?
Well, they just have the screenplay guy, Zach Helm, who did Stranger Than Fiction.
So have they not started making it yet? They just like have a screenplay and a release date?
Yeah, it just goes to the rest of their, they announced the plans to remake and it's set December 25th. That's all it says. They announced it in August of 2015, and then it goes on to say internet reception to this announcement was negative.
I totally forgot that happened.
Oh, man, I didn't even know. Cool.
Man. Remaking Jumanji already. Awful.
Well, you know, so there's a couple that I noticed weren't on your list.
Okay.
Bridget Jones' Baby.
Oh my god. So wait,
no.
So does Renee Zellweger have to get fat again for that movie?
I don't know if that's is that possible that she can she get fat again?
she had all of her capacity for her food.
But I don't even know why they would cast her in it, because she doesn't look like she did when she was the original.
Right. They basically just held another open casting call and she came in for it. Yeah.
And I can't believe she got it. I would have said no. Too much work. You've got too much work done.
Right.
So there's X-Men Apocalypse and there's Gambit.
Yeah. Now I did not have X-Men Apocalypse on there just because it's not at the same level as these other ones I was talking about. But I mean, I'm kind of excited about it. It's weird watching the trailer. I always forget that Oscar Isaac is playing Apocalypse.
What? I didn't even know that.
Am I right about that?
I don't look at these types of things.
Yeah, I think that's right. But anyway, I mean.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's kind of weird. I don't really. I'm not as big of an X-Men person as I am maybe some other characters. So, you know, I didn't really grow up with X-Men the way that probably a lot of other people our age did. So I don't, these characters don't mean as much to me. But, I mean, I'll definitely see it. I've enjoyed the relaunched sort of X-Men movies. And, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job. I'm sure that'll be a fun, big, tentpole action movie to go see. Gambit, I'm pretty skeptical of, because I have read enough to know that Gambit, is not a very Gambit sucks as a character. I don't really understand why that was a thing in the 90s. I don't understand why he became a big deal. And I'm real skeptical that Channing Tatum doing a Cajun accent and throwing magical playing cards at people is going to be a good superhero movie.
Yeah, that project seems cursed from it, it's always seemed cursed. I think my friends were into Gambit when I was in the fourth grade, so maybe that tells you what a lot of the appeal.
Dude, it's like, it's so bad to read. I really cannot imagine like hearing it spoken aloud. Like I've read a couple issues of Gambit, like from the 90s, and it's just all like, you know, like, okay, monster, you know, just all of that. It's embarrassing to read it.
Ang Lee's got one coming out. It's called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime. Moving on.
Yeah, thanks.
Suicide Squad. I know you skipped that one on purpose.
You know, I'm actually probably more excited about Suicide Squad than I am about Batman versus Superman. I at least have some reason of feeling, you know, interested in it. And not just like Batman, Superman, I feel like I'm culturally compelled to see it. Like, I feel like it's like the Super Bowl or the Oscars, and it's like, it doesn't really matter whether I think it's going to be good or not. I just have to see it to participate in our culture. Suicide Squad is totally missable if you don't want to see it. But I kind of think it might be okay. The biggest thing with that I'm hung up on is I just, will we be able to stomach all of the Jared Leto that we're going to get in that movie?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because I hear he's so method that he made Margot Robbie give him Indian burns every day. So he could really feel the pain of what
right.
the Joker might have felt.
Yeah, he went into Will Smith's trailer every day, and he made Will Smith scream, "I'm not the greatest human that ever lived," until he cried. Basically,
that's dark.
Yeah,
man, that's
it was so dark.
Man,
it's weird too. Like that movie. This seems like the first admission by Will Smith that he's, like, not a big deal anymore. You know, like, the fact that Will Smith is, like, probably
yeah.
the third-billed actor in that movie behind Margot Robbie and Jared Leto, it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, it's like when David Justice was still playing for the Braves, but it was like... He's just kind of there, like, to sign autographs and hang out in the outfield. Like, he's not really playing for them anymore, you know?
Right. Right. He's like Moneyball. Brad Pitt's like, and it's easy to be a leader out there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Will Smith is just really, he's like, well, we have an extra spot. Maybe we can do, like, some stunt casting. And, you know, see if Will Smith will do it. Whatever. But, like, there's no way he's making $20 million to be in that movie, because he's not even he's one of, like, 15 people in it, and they haven't made that big of a deal of him. So I guess, like, Will Smith is finally on the way out.
Yeah. It's what we've all been waiting. Maybe Suicide Squad will be good for something then.
I'll probably see it. I'm kind of – I would say I'm, like, marginally interested.
All right, so there's another Bourne movie, probably. Greengrass is probably going to put out another
yeah.
Bourne movie.
I don't think I saw the third one. I definitely didn't see the Jeremy Renner one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Man.
To be honest, they kind of all run together. It's just like, if I think about those movies in my head, it's just like shaky cam and Matt Damon running through subways. Like,
right, and he is.
They're good while you watch
one.
Them. Yeah, right. They're good
yeah.
while you watch them. It's just like they don't really last in my head. They don't really mean anything to me. I don't really have much of an attachment to the franchise.
What about the Star Trek Beyond?
I want to see more first, I think. We got like a little teaser so far, but I'd like to see some more, because especially since it's not J.J. Abrams. And I know you guys all really, I don't know if you're, I think you're in that crowd, right? Are you a big Fast and Furious fan?
Nah. Nah, no. Not really,
yeah.
No.
I mean, it's not, I don't like actively dislike those movies. I just haven't really seen very many of them, so I'm not really excited about it. I probably need to see a little more before I get excited about it.
Right, right. Well, and they're doing a, Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to the Wysikowski.
The sequel to one of the most successful movies of all time.
Did you like that one?
Dude, I seriously hardly remember anything about it.
I like her.
I do too. I think she's great. She's been in some really, really interesting movies in recent years. But, I mean, hopefully they paid her really well for that movie. Like, I mean, she was the star of a movie that made like $1.5 billion, and no one really liked it. It's kind of like the Avatar of kids' movies, basically. You know, like, everyone in the entire world saw Alice in Wonderland, and I don't think anyone particularly loved it. They're just like, okay, we saw it.
Yeah, and I'm so done with Johnny Depp. I can't even express how done with him I am.
It just seems kind of lazy. Like, for a character that is the Mad Hatter, it's just, like, stunningly uninteresting to watch him in that, you know?
And every character, except for his Donnie Brasco Black Matter character, all his other characters are...
Black Matter?
Black Mass. Yeah. Exactly. So, it's all just, like, the same thing. And I'm just done.
Okay, yeah, he plays an eccentric person in everything.
BFG.
I don't know anything about it. Like, I know, like, Stark is over the moon about this movie. But, like...
You didn't read the book growing up or anything?
I never even heard of it. I didn't know it was a thing. So...
Yeah, you're not did you read any Roald Dahl or anything like that growing up?
Yeah, I do like Roald Dahl stuff for the most part. So I guess that's pretty promising. But I just don't know anything about it. I'm sure it'll be pretty good. I mean, Spielberg's only really made one real stinker in recent years, and George Lucas was involved in it, so we should be fine. I mean, worst case scenario, it's another Warhorse. But even then, it'll be fine.
And that movie sucked.
Yeah, no, I mean that it was just like it was a nice snap, you know.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were gonna say BFG could be another 1941, but then you said recent years, and so you were talking about Warhorse.
Yeah, I'm talking about Linkfield.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Wait, you were talking about what?
Late Spielberg.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it'll be good. I mean, Spielberg making a kids movie sounds like a pretty good idea. He basically, I don't think Tintin's really a kids movie, so he really hasn't done that since Hook, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and I love them. So, sure.
Bring it on, you say.
Yeah, BFG.
And there's a Peach Dragon remake. And that about sums up our...
Who is in the Peach Dragon remake? Like, who's the like, kid?
Honestly, I kept on scrolling. Let me get back to it.
No, pull it up. I want to see what Jake Ace is playing Pete in this movie.
Let me see. Yeah, you're going to be right. This guy's name is Oaks. Feigley.
Oak.
As in the tree.
Oh
he's
God.
He's a kid in the young Eli in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So it's some kid and a CGI dragon, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
And who's directing it?
This dude named David Lowry.
Who's made what else?
Ain't Them Body Saints. Upstream Color.
Oh, my God. The guy that made Upstream Color?
No. I'm so sorry. He just edited that.
So, from the editor of Upstream Color, a remake of Pete freaking dragon. Oh my god.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.